It is the 19th, and it's our very last day of instruction. So we have a lot to cover. We're going to review for the final, talk about the final. So you know, I have a pre-final calculation sheet for you, which, hint, I'll get it, will look a lot like the calculations on the final. But first, we need a good. Yeah, anybody want an end of semester joke? End of semester joke. This is a very useful joke, by the way. Okay, here's the last spreadsheet before the exam. End of semester joke. So this one class at the university is kind of strange. There's over 500 students in the classroom, and your grade consists entirely of the paper that you have to have at the end of the semester, 12 o'clock noon, last day of class. If you don't have it in by 12 o'clock noon, they won't accept it, you fail. That's simple. So it's the last day of class, and there are hundreds of papers on this desk of the professor. And it's 12 o'clock, so he won't accept any more papers. Well, about 10 minutes later, the student bursts in. I'm sorry, my car had a baby, my sister needed a new transmission. I'm sorry I'm late, but here's my paper. And the professor looks at it and says, well, I'm sorry, young man, I cannot accept your paper. And the student says, but you know who I am. And the professor says, I don't care if you're the son of the president of the college. I cannot accept your paper. The student looks at him and says, yeah, but do you know who I am? And the professor says, young man, there are over 500 students in this class. I have no idea who you are. Student says, good. He runs over to where the papers are, puts it in the middle, throws them in the air, and runs out. So remember that, guy. Might be useful someday. Okay. All right. So the final. No class this Thursday, folks. It's staff. I don't know why they picked. I think I know why they picked that day, to give students an extra day to study. I think that's it, but don't the calendar committee. I don't talk to those people. 8 a.m. next Thursday, the 28th. So, yeah, it's hard enough to get people here at 9:30, right? I'll stick around all morning long, don't worry. But at 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then there might be another class coming in here at 10:30, so we might have to get out of here, but that's okay. There will be specific questions on the chapters that we've discussed. That's a stupid-looking arrow. 15, 14, and 2... Right? Options, futures, and shorting and margining. Now, there are no calculations. So those two worksheets that we did, you don't do those. They are on the Series 7. But that doesn't mean I don't want you to learn about options and futures, even though I don't want you to buy it except for George. Or shorting and margining, except for George. Right? You still have to understand those. There will be no calculations on options, shorting, and margining. The calculations will come from chapters 10 and 6. So we've gone through these over again. We've gone through them many times. We're going to do them again today if we have time. If not, the answer key is on the website, and here's the pre-final, if you will. So bring your formula sheets also for chapters 6 and 10. I'll have some extras. Scantron, the regular Scantron, 2 pages of handwritten notes. And there will be general questions on all the other chapters, the stuff you just got to know. So any questions on the final? Any thoughts? Any ideas? Comments? Criticisms? Oh, we just jumped a percent, did we? Oh, no, we didn't jump a percent. Okay, so let's get started on gold. Oh, no, sorry. Let's take a look at our portfolio first. 5.5%. I want you to know that's pretty darn good. The S&P for the year, Standard & Poor's 500, is up around, what, 3%, 2.5%, 3%? The Dow is up a little bit, 2 or 3%. And so you guys have done, you've beaten the index, right? But this is so true. This is so, well, actually, three of them did well. The National Association of Investors Corp, the people who do the investment clubs, they have their 5-stock rule of thumb. You buy 5 stocks, one will do well. One will do poorly, and 3 will basically follow the market. Well, we bought 10. 3 have done well. 2 have been kind of stinkers, and the others have basically just bounced around. So you are to be commended, but at the same time, this is typical. And this is, you know, you're not going to win them all. Yeah. That's exactly right. You know, that's so bizarre. You know, one of my best investments, the individual ones, was a REIT, believe it or not. I thought we were just buying it for income. And it coincided with the explosion of real estate in the 2000 to 2006. And so you're absolutely right. It often is the company that you had no idea was going to do well. Any comments? Any thoughts? Did anybody do their own? Has anybody done their own 10 stocks or 20 stocks throughout this? That's what they wanted you to do. The book and other people who design these classes say they want it to be like a race or a horse race, and everybody's, you know, showing how whoever wins gets something, a T-shirt or something at the end of the semester. So I don't really like that, so I don't do it. I do it together. But I hope. Did you enjoy it? Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Or do you think we should make everybody do it their own? You like it this way? I like it this way too. Okay. All right. So today, let's talk about gold. Right? Did you think that when you came into this class, were you thinking we're going to discuss gold? No. Well, you know, you want to buy gold, buy gold. But think about it, folks. Does it pay any rent or dividends or interest? Does it grow? Does it go out and find new markets and develop new products? No. It's gorgeous. Yes, it's beautiful. Gold coins are very pretty. But for the most part, it's a really horrible investment. Unless the world ends. If you think the world is going to end, load up on silver, gold, platinum, palladium, and rhodium. But what is it good for? What is gold really? It's a commodity like any other commodity. What is it good for? What is gold used for? Right. The biggest use is jewelry and savings and you know, in storage. They store it. Warren Buffett said it well. He said, gold is one of the few things we dig up in one part of the world, transport to another part of the world, and then bury it and put an armed guard in front of it. But I like Tom Petruno's saying, if your reason for owning gold has something to do with the end of the world as we know it, shotguns and canned food probably would be more practical investments. But gold is good for your teeth. It's still one of the best stuffs you can put. It's a better crown than porcelain. Lasts longer, costs more expensive. It's more expensive. What else is good? Gold is good for? Yes, it's in your smell phone. There's a tiny little bit of gold because it's one of the best conductors out there. But there are conductors that are almost as good that are a whole lot cheaper. But it's a really good conductor for our electricity. And it doesn't react with anything except for mercury. And then mercury just dissolves it. And then when you there's a chemical process to take out the mercury, the gold's back. So gold is a pretty amazing element. Now, what about silver? What is silver good for? It turns out silver has far more industrial usage, mostly because it's cheaper, and silver is right above, you know, gold, so it's a pretty cool element. But the biggest use for silver used to be film. Remember the little yellow boxes? Some of you don't. Kodak, right? Are we using film anymore? No. Now, these three, actually, there are some ideas that these three might become pretty darn useful. Because in your car, one of the most expensive items in your car is the catalytic converter. And it uses these very expensive, very rare elements. And fuel cells also use these things. Now, I don't know if you know anything about fuel cells. They've been around for 180 years, but they're very expensive. So they use them in the space program to generate electricity. And there's talk about having a fuel cell car and fuel, but they're just really, really expensive. And so when anybody comes up to me and says, but I really want gold. I think it's going to do better than stocks. I'm afraid of stocks. I don't trust those bonds. I don't even understand bonds. I don't know Barry bonds. But I really want gold. I just show them this. Okay? This is back from chapter 1. And you go back 200 years, and you find that gold does well when people believe the world is going to end. That's when gold does well. And then it doesn't do well when the world doesn't end. In the last major crazy before the last 2000s was in the late 70s. Late 70s, inflation started to take hold in the United States, and it was a real shock to the United States culture and the economy, and gold skyrocketed. And then it hit about $800 an ounce. Between 2000 and 1981, I think it was, when it hit $800 an ounce, and 1999, it went from 800 to 250. It then jumped to $1,800 over the last decade, the 2000s, when the Iraq War and Afghanistan, and then the Antichrist came into power. And since then, it's dropped from about $1,800 down to $1,200, $1,300. So if you do buy gold, you realize that you're just speculating, and you got to know when to get in, and you got to know when to get out. And there are people on the web who are going to try to sell you gold, tell you it's the best thing in the world. They're selling it to you. And they'll talk about how it's held its value. Well, yeah, it's held its value with regard to the consumer price index. But what would you rather have? Something that's beaten it by several percentage points over decades, over hundreds of years, or something that just barely keeps up with inflation? And I don't know, any comments, any criticisms? I had one student in here who just, you ever hear this guy Porter Stansberry online? If you go online, you'll see him. You can't miss him. He's not the only one, but these are the kind of people who predict crashes all the time. They're always talking about there's going to be a crash. And what they do is they make them look like they're articles. And Yahoo is trying to make a living. So all you got to do is here he is, right here. You click on these guys, and it's going to. They try to make it look like it's a real article. And doomsday clock set, ultimate black swan, Senator Paul Roy, and they'll just try to scare the living daylights out of you. And you know what? They might be right. Putin might start World War III. The world might end. In which case, get the hell out of the Northern Hemisphere. Yes. Oh, it's nuts. They're just trying to scare the living daylights out of you. That's all they're trying to do. And if you type this, if you type this guy, I'm not trying to pick on him, but he's just so blatant. He's just so blatant about be afraid, be very afraid, buy gold from us, by the way. And so that's all I have to say about gold. Diamonds, sapphires, rubies, emeralds are not an investor's best friend, folks. They are not that rare. In fact, they are making diamonds now. And they make diamonds out of carbon, and so they can make diamonds out of your dog. After your dog has gone to his or her, or kitty cat has gone to their reward, you can send them the ashes, have them cremated, send them the ashes, and they'll send you back a diamond. Is that what you want? No, don't buy diamonds. Okay. How about collectibles? Beanie Babies, antique cars, Star Wars memorabilia. It might be a fun hobby, folks. You might actually enjoy it. Comic books, baseball cards, but be careful with regard to investing. You might even make some money. You might even do it. You'll talk to these people and they'll say, "Oh yeah, I got this one and it really did well for me." What about the other stuff, collecting dust? I don't know. Maybe I'll be able to sell it. There's a guy in Chula Vista who collects turtles, and he breeds them, and he's made money off of it. He's actually done very well. Yes. Small ones, big ones. He's got a Galapagos turtle, and he breeds them. And, you know, but that scares me because, first of all, I can barely keep, you know, our cat alive. Feed it, it seems to live. But now trying to keep a whole menagerie of turtles alive, and what happens if there's a turtle blight or something? Whatever, you know, I'm not turtle blood, whatever, the disease that just affects turtles, and it comes through and there's wipes out your entire investment. So I'm not a big fan. And Christopher Berge of Christie's Auctions House, one of the two major, Sotheby's and Christie's, he said it best, don't buy art as an investment. You buy art because of what it does for you. You enjoy it, you might make a ton of money. And these people like Porter Stansberry and other people will say, but you know, you got to buy gold. But the best investment is by far is fine art. And they're absolutely right, but for about this much of the fine art world. The rest, 99.99% of it, which you can't even afford or don't want to afford, is not going to do very well. In fact, I thought I was going to, this was many years, I didn't do it. I bought something else, which actually did pretty well. I bought something for $20, and last time I checked 15 years ago, it was worth $500. I was surprised. But I almost bought a John Lennon. I was after he died, and the prices went up. And I thought, this is in the early 80s, I thought, you know, this is going to do really, really well. But then I worried about, where the hell are you going to keep it? On your wall? People throw ketchup around. You know, my mom steals it. Was that really a John Lennon? Everybody knows, hey, you got a John Lennon. It gets stolen. You can't, you know, it costs a fortune to insure them. Most people don't. And so I didn't do it. I just checked about a year or so ago, John Lennon's prints. They're selling for less than that they were selling for right after he passed away. He was murdered in 1980. So, I don't know. You decide whether you want art as an investment. And the Congress is not too keen on these things, too, because the maximum capital gains tax rate on most all investments is currently 15% for most of us. Once you're over $450,000, then it goes up to 20%, and could be as low as 5% for those of us in the lower tax brackets. But capital gains on metals, art, collectibles, jewelry, 28%. And none of these investments are eligible for your IRA, your 401k. Well, actually, there is a way you can sneak gold. They have to be double. They have to be eagles. They have to be golden eagles. United States, golden eagles, Indian IRA. But so you think the Congress is trying to tell you something? Yeah, so there you go. Questions on that? Did I go through that too quickly? Are you guys not too excited about that at all? Okay, let's get rid of that guy. And then what we could do right now is go through the retirement.